Would you all join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Everybody loves a good ghost story, or at least that seems to be the sense we get when we look at the movies that have come out of Hollywood over the last few decades, or if we think about some of the beloved works of literature we've read. We all know The Christmas Carol and The Ghost of Jacob Marley. We remember, if we're older, movies like The Ghost of Mrs. Muir, or more recently, Poltergeist, or if you're looking for something a little more family-friendly, Ghostbusters. There's also the movie called Ghost. And this recurring theme in fiction seems to speak to a deep need on the part of people to maintain connections with those who have passed on. And I've had an opportunity to think a little bit about this over the last week or so. As, like everyone else, I've seen in the news, Prince Philip had died, and yesterday his funeral was broadcast on TV. And my own mother, who is 101 years old, is getting ready to end this stage of her journey in life. Why do we want then to think about ghosts? Well, I think part of the explanation would be that we don't want to lose the connection. And there's this sense that we're not just going to disappear off into nothingness, and there are phenomena in life we don't quite understand. And so ghosts have been a ready explanation for what might be going on. Now, as a person in the 21st century, my inclination is to dismiss the existence of ghosts. But I had an experience a few years ago when a person came to me and told me that she was dealing with ghosts and could I come and exorcise them from her home. And I really didn't know what to say, because I didn't want to just say to her, "You're crazy, I don't do that. There's no service for that in our prayer book. And it's nothing that we've done in the UCC or before in the Congregational Church." But I consulted with one of my mentors, and he's a very caring person and very bright and also very humble. And he didn't give me a straight answer, but he gave me a good answer, which is, we preach a crucified Lord who was dead and raised up. So he's not just going to say, "You guys are wrong." And there was a sense that in humility, I should try to speak to some of the anxiety she was having. And I went to her home and I offered some prayers, and she seemed to be satisfied with that approach. Ghosts are not a new thing in the human experience. Ghosts are something that people have believed in for a very, very long time. And they were very much in the imagination of people in the first century. And the disciples did not want people to think that Jesus was a ghost. And so in this morning's lesson and in last week's from John, we see that the risen Christ has appeared amongst the disciples, and he is not a ghost. So, what does that mean to us? How are we supposed to handle this now? Well, what the disciples, and particularly this Gospel of Luke, is trying to tell us is that with the resurrection, something new had happened. And in that event, God had come to bridge the divide between heaven and earth. Jesus was present in a corporeal form, and we see that he ate fish. And we might wonder, well, what kind of evidence is this? What kind of witness were these people? And we have to remember that what was being preached back then seize the imagination and the interest of the wider population. There's a reason the church spread so much so quickly. Of course, part of it was the way that people treated one another, the care they provided. Back in the first century, whether you were in Judea or you were in Rome, there was no welfare state to take care of you. And in fact, your worshiping community often didn't do much either. And the church was organized differently, and people were living differently. And people were living differently because they believed the message of Jesus. And that was compelling, that Jesus reflected God's love for humanity. Now, I've said this before, and it's nothing new, but what Jesus was telling people about the God of Israel was that this God cared about life's outsiders, the marginalized, the people who often weren't given attention or care from the wider society. And in that world, that was a particularly compelling message. But frankly, it should be today too, when people are feeling unheard, when they might be feeling unloved, and we in the church have the opportunity to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we do that through our words, and we do it through our actions, we do it through our hospitality and our service. And we remember that those first disciples were called to go and share the message just as we are. Now, some of you might be saying that this vision of God doesn't quite fit with your understanding of the universe. And that has been a problem for many mainline Christians over the last couple of hundred years. And there's been this saying that, well, Jesus was not resurrected. It was a spiritual resurrection. But I don't think that answer would really cut the mustard. I think that Jesus was indeed resurrected. And there are lots of things that we can see in our world that make sense to us, but there are some things that don't. There are some things that we will never see, but we accept that they are present because the sources are to us credible. How many people here have ever seen a muon? And there was news about some research that was done recently about these fundamental particles in physics. And you may remember physics from when you were a kid, when you learned about protons and electrons and neutrons, and that all seemed to make sense because it was explained by teachers we trusted. But the universe has become stranger and more complicated than we ever imagined. Well, the living God fits into this universe because he made this universe. And the resurrection makes a tremendous difference in our lives because it tells us that everything we thought we knew and everything we believed needs to be seen through God's lens of love. The universe exists not because something just happened one morning and all of a sudden there was a big bang and unfolded, but we believe because God made this happen. And this universe is sacred and it is holy and it is beautiful and it's something we're supposed to care for. It's not just the environment, but we need to care for one another. And we've seen that there are lots of people who can use our help. And our congregation has tried to be faithful to that calling. Tomorrow, our church is going to be hosting a vaccine clinic that's being put on by Listen and Dartmouth-Hitchcock Medical Center, and people who are underserved in our community are going to have the opportunity to come and get their shots. And I hope that everybody here feels good and proud that we're going to be offering that kind of witness to the wider community, because that's what the church is supposed to be. This has been a tough year for all of us. We have not been able to get together, but we will soon. And when we do, we will give thanks to God for our community and for human inventiveness and for hopefully a spirit of caring for one another. Think back to that room where the disciples were gathered when Jesus appeared. Not a ghost, but Jesus. And we might wonder how this can make a difference to us, because Jesus' resurrection wasn't just a call for us to serve one another, but it is a reminder to us of how much God cares for us, how much God loves us. And when we're dealing with the potential loss of people we've known, in my case, my mother, my entire life, or a public figure like Prince Philip, or you can think of other folks you'd add to that list, the reality of their love and their service does not go away. And God wants us to hold on to that and to remember that, to know that God is with us through all that will happen in our lives today and in the future. In God's name we pray. Amen.